We are into day number 10 of NFL free agency. We're still learning what Brian Gain is going to be as the GM of the Texans. What if this is basically who he is? A sort of Moneyball style guy who is very judicious with doling out big money contracts to other free agents and even the Texans' own players as well.
Well, was he judicious in doling out a Bernard McKinney contract?
He was a little bit, but now that contract looks a lot better. A lot better, given the inside linebacker.
Well, no, because I guess it wouldn't be. Like, I thought that was a relatively generous extension to Bernard McKinney.
I agree.
So I don't know if, I guess Moneyball's got too much emotion loaded on it. Like, it's not, like, Moneyball isn't about being cheap. It's just like the A's just don't happen to have any money to spend, so they have to be cheap. But the Moneyball tactics don't, you know, the Red Sox use Moneyball tactics, and you can still spend a whole lot of money. So I guess when you say, is he going to be a Moneyball type of GM, you're saying he's just not going to make any wildly aggressive moves financially.
Exactly.
He's always going to be just, he wants, if he's going to spend money, he's going to spend the right amount of money and try not to overspend on anything.
Yeah, that are we at the start of a very conservative GM? Not politically, of course. I just mean, like, just in terms of the way he operates his football team.
Now, let's just speculate on his politics for a full
he's
segment.
A communist. I mean, clearly not giving any big contracts out to anyone except for the guys who fall in line, like a Bernard McKinney,
yeah,
who's
wait
closer
a second
to the top.
Yeah, Angelo Blackson gets a pretty healthy deal for a guy that's a part-time starter. But
he's more of a comrade.
Does he want Angelo Blackson and Deshaun Watson to make the same salary because we're all equal? I don't know. I don't like this trend.
He's got he's comrade level 2. Like McKinney's comrade level 4. J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins are comrade level 10.
Coming up at 7:20, just how commie are the Houston Texans? I don't know. I'm not worried that he's going to be a commie.
Okay.
I'm worried that he's... I'm a little bit worried that maybe the Aaron Colvin signing really freaked him out. I'm a little bit nervous that, okay, when you went out, except that the Aaron Colvin signing shouldn't freak him out because you swing and you whiff every now and then in free agency. It might be completely injury related. Maybe Aaron Colvin works out just fine here. But it's not like he didn't spend, I think he spent maybe a little bit more than he could have or should have on Bradley Roby. I mean, that was the competitive offer, but it's a one-year deal. So is that a Moneyball move? Like, I feel like $10 million a year for a guy who had a bad year last year, but on a one-year contract where it's a prove-it type situation, it worked out for him with Tyrann Mathieu, and then he didn't overspend on him. So I think with Bradley Roby, he's thinking, all right, I'm going to spend aggressively for a one-year deal, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't, but no harm, no foul. We'll be fine next year. If it does work out, we get a good year. I'll play out of this guy. The biggest thing that I'd wonder is, if you're going to make moves like this, if you're going to try to become a team of one-year prove-it deals, then I feel like you almost have to reconsider your policy about not extending guys in season.
Totally agree.
Like, if you're going to do this, if you're going to say, all right, we're going to bring in guys on one-year contracts, like Tyrann Mathieu, like Bradley Roby, and just try to get the absolute most out of them at a low-risk contract, why not maximize the potential of that deal by renegotiating those guys in December and give them a chance to extend before they risk more injury, before they go out there on the market and get them, because then maybe they could have gotten Tyrann Mathieu. Think about Tyrann Mathieu at the end of December or at the beginning of December, based on what the free agency market had been for safeties that year in 2018. If they had offered the same contract they did in late February of $9 million a year, there's a really good chance Tyrann Mathieu would have taken that.
If they had done that, let's say November.
Right.
I agree with
or
you.
Or early December. I
totally
think
Tyrann
Mathieu takes that deal. So maybe that would have been the right move. Maybe it wouldn't. But the Texans wanted to retain Tyrann Mathieu. If Bradley Roby comes in and has a really good year and he's out there and he's locking people down in man coverage and it looks like he's on the straight and narrow and everybody loves him, I would really like the chance to lock that down in December.
They should think about that if, again, Roby plays well. And that's a big if at this point because they're unlikely to be secure at cornerback both this season and next season just by odds. I mean, you brought in old BBC. He's probably competing with Aaron Colvin for your slot corner position right now in Brian Bodie Calhoun. I mean, he's probably competing with Aaron Colvin for that slot cornerback position, just given what he did in Cleveland this past season. I don't know if he actually wins that competition, but...
Well, there's... You know what? I don't think they probably have high hopes for him as an actual cornerback. They like him for special teams, but he is competition. And I think that's probably the most important thing, is that he's viable, real competition for Aaron Colvin. Aaron Colvin doesn't just get to sit here and think, like, oh, it was kind of a rough year and Mayo's banged up, so no big deal, I'll be better this year. He's got to really think about the fact that the Texans could cut him this year without being hurt too much against the cap, and they have the cap space to do it.
This is true. I want to go back to Mike's original question about what Brian Gain is, and are we concerned that Brian Gain is maybe conservative? Brian Gain, I think right now, is operating like a general manager who wants to build a team his own way, and he knows that to build a team his own way is to get as many draft picks as he possibly can. He finally has a lot of draft picks to work with. I think that we might be seeing a different Brian Gain had the Texans had all of their draft picks for last year's draft, you know? Because since they traded up for Deshaun Watson and dumped Brock Osweiler's contract, they ultimately don't have a first, they don't have a second round pick, so his first three picks are third round picks. And to his credit, I feel that they like Martinez Rankin. We'll see how Martinez Rankin goes. Justin Reed looks like he was the steal. And also, in the third round, you get Jordan Akins, who showed some promise this past season. But Brian Gain is not making these big moves because he wants the compensatory picks in next year's draft, which he will get some of, certainly, given that the guys that they've been signing have, for the most part, been players who have been released, and he's going to have his draft picks this offseason. I think the real question, we have to look at a big picture, is Brian Gain, after next year's draft, is he then going to start throwing out huge contracts to potential free agents?
At some point, you have to.
Yes.
And that's how it works with every team. Like, all these various teams, like the Colts for a little while, but and then the Colts had a bunch of cap space. They ended up spending over the course of a couple of years. The Browns are now spending after having a bunch of cap space. The Jaguars had a bunch of cap space. Then they spent over the course of a couple of years. They spent way too much. So it will happen. I mean, you have to spend up to a floor anyway. You can't just keep, well, you can. You could keep rolling it over forever if you wanted to, but it's rare. Like, all these teams end up spending at some point. Usually, but a lot of times it comes when all of a sudden the GM realizes, like,
I gotta win.
Boy, I gotta win now. Yeah. Like, the job's on the line. All right, now we're gonna get aggressive.
So I asked the question, is Gain too conservative? I actually think it's too early to judge that. And it's because last year they were really limited in what they can do. I mean, they signed some players. They were more aggressive last year in free agency than this year in free agency, but they had such a dearth of picks that it was really hard to judge. And then this year, while they have a lot of cap space, now the second most in the NFL, everybody says the free agency class was generally lousy, and I think that's something that made him really hesitant. So I think at this point, only 1.5 off seasons in, I still think it's too early to figure out. I think this is somebody. I think Gain will sign players and be more aggressive. I just think we haven't seen enough. We need more of a sample size.
Right, and I think maybe that sample size could also be right here on the Houston Texans roster and what they do with Jadeveon Clowney going forward. Because I'm curious as to what the policy now is when it comes to re-signing players. As Seth, you were talking about a little bit ago, are they going to negotiate with guys in the middle of the season? Number one, but also number two. Okay, well, what kind of player is worthy of re-signing? And I think that goes back to Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain's alignment. I think there is a set criteria that you have to check a lot of boxes off on if you're going to get an extension with the Texans. I think Bernard McKinney definitely does that. Yeah. I mean, they clearly have a lot of faith in Bernard McKinney that they gave him that extension last year. They've done it with DeAndre Hopkins, though, a different era. J.J. Watt, different era. Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, that's, I think, why we have this holdup right now, is that he doesn't check off all of those boxes, and that's why they've been so hesitant to give him an extension that I think Mike thinks, and I think, Seth, you think also, that Clowney deserves.
Yeah, I think that part of it, too, is I wonder what kind of guy Bill O'Brien wants, because it's easy to always say, well, they want to run it like New England. I think the Texans, as long as McNair has been the owner, have wanted to emulate the Steelers or even the Ravens more so than the Patriots. Because the Patriots, it's hard to separate, like, okay, what is a Patriots player? I don't know. A Patriots player is a guy that listens to Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick is so much a part of the culture up there that you can't do anything about it. Whereas with the Ravens, you more get a feel like that the organizations have a certain type of guy. Like, they're just like these, or at least the Steelers used to, and then the Steelers got away from it over these last few years.
Well, The
Ravens are still the same.
The Ravens, they feel like they have an edge.
It's guys that have an edge.
Yes.
They're kind of maniacal in some respects. In Baltimore, it's a little further away from, like, almost on the antisocial side of things. Pittsburgh, it's more, okay, blue-collar, lunch-pail guy that lives, eats, breathes football, just absolutely loves it. Greg Lloyd was a psycho, but he was all about football. James Harrison, psycho, but all about football. And I think that more than anything, I don't know if I can say the same thing about Patriots players. Like, Patriots players, it's a hodgepodge every year of different guys that will do their job, you know. But well, I don't think of them as the same type of guys as a Steeler or a Raven.
And it goes back to just, you know, Belichick being like this Wizard of Oz figure at this point where they keep bringing these guys who might be character issues elsewhere, but when they go to the Patriots, they fall right in line because it's Belichick and it's Brady. And if that player was playing on any of the other 31 teams, it would be a different deal.
You know what? Okay, good. Okay, I think we might have stumbled onto something here. Because the question always becomes, who should you emulate? And everybody goes, it's the go-to to emulate the Patriots, which might be an impossible chore because they have Belichick and Brady. And how much of the Patriots' way is actually that versus how much of it is just Belichick's on-the-field coaching genius, Brady's on-the-field playing genius. If I think about what I close my eyes and envision a team, these are the three teams I think of. The Seattle Seahawks when they were really good, the Baltimore Ravens when they were really good, and the Pittsburgh Steelers when they were really good. And a lot of that boils down to what kind of guys are on their roster. Like, who are their leaders? And a lot of times it's just like, these guys are just absolute monsters that compete, want to just suffocate their opponents, like want to do all that. There's a culture on those teams when those teams were at their best. And I like, okay, would Jadeveon Clowney fit in on any of those teams? I feel like he would.
I feel like he would.
And like, okay, does he?
He may not be the main guy.
To every meeting on time, or does he check off every box? No, but I know guys on those teams, and I know they're weirdos. I've spent time with guys on all three of those teams. Not all of them are like Boy Scouts that check off every box, but when it comes to what they do on Sunday, they're just absolute monsters.